Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sorry.
That means I've got a sneeze I can clip out and add into your intro next time you're ill.
Oh, yay.
Hello and welcome to episode 257 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with...
I like the way you always forget you put that meow on and say my name.
Yes.
You've also removed the crashing noise afterwards, which is appreciated.
Well, yes, the crashing noise only goes on when I know you've been out there damaging yourself, but I was going to put a sneeze on because I know you've got hay fever this week, so.
I'm slightly hay fevery. I did a little bit of work on the garden and stuff over the weekend to try and feel like I'd done something productive, which is obviously, obviously backfired horribly on my nose.
As most things do when you step to do something.
Pretty much. That'll teach me. That'll teach me for trying to be productive.
Yes, teach you to try and do something positive. So, apart from gardening, what else have you been doing?
It's been a few weeks since I spoke to you, so quite a lot has been going on. I played a brand new game on stream a little while ago called Alien Scumbags by Monster Finger Games, and that's an indie sort of 8-bit style run-and-gun platform shooter game, but it's inspired by every sort of 80s horror movie that you've ever watched.
Nice.
And very, very funny. Lots of puns, lots of tongue-in-cheek stuff, but all in sort of blocky, pixely, 8-bit format.
Nice.
And really enjoyed it. It's also got some bits where you can hide in cupboards from the attacking monsters and aliens and things that are definitely not parodies of movie monsters, you know. I just automatically started hiding in the little cupboards and they were like, oh yay, not everyone gets that mechanism. And I was like, I've been playing Alien Isolation.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're used to hiding in cupboards. Master at this by now.
Yeah, it's 90% of my Alien Isolation gameplay. So enjoying that. You can shoot bits of the scenery in the game. It's really, really good fun. And actually quite spooky and scary for 8-bit as well.
Wow.
Whilst being very funny. Yeah, they've done a lot with the music and sound effects to make it feel kind of eerie, and you've only got a torch to light the way and stuff. It's this weird mix of very funny and loads of puns, but actually genuinely quite in places a slightly scary, difficult platform shooter. It's an interesting mix. It's still a growing game. They've just released it on Steam at the moment, but they are adding more to it. So you can buy it now at a sort of, I think it's just under a fiver or something.
Oh, wow.
But you get, as they expand the game, you still get the rest of the game as well, even if you paid the sort of equivalent of an early access style price.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's being added to the game as we speak is me.
Wow.
So after I played the game and I got the developer to pop onto Discord, and we spent the last hour of the stream just chatting and talking through everything and just did an impromptu indie dev interview, which was good fun.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was like, this is really good. This game's much deeper and just more complicated and more fun than I realized it was going to be for this little sort of retro-styled indie game that's been made by basically just, I think it's two people.
Yeah.
And I said, if you ever need any voice work, give me a shout. I'd love to be involved with this. And they kind of went, well, actually. So I'm now the voice of like the Tannoy system on the spaceship that's like, welcome to the Nostrami. And we've got a few lines and stuff that are being being worked into the game at the moment. So that was awesome. That was really good fun, because I just said that kind of throwaway, like, you know, thinking they'd come turn around and say like, oh yeah, for games of the future we might give you a shout, and they were just like, no, actually this game needs a couple of things doing, and I was just like, yes, where do I sign up? So I'm going to be the voice of the tannoy for the ship.
That's fabulous,
which is pretty cool. So I got to do a few lines for that the other week, and there's a little clip on Twitter where you can hear my voice in the background. So that's quite cool. So next time I play that, because I think it's next week or so, they're adding that bit and another level. So
wow.
Yeah, I'll be able to play the game and hear myself, which is both a dream come true and means I have to listen to my own daft voice a bit more. So
yes,
you know, it's the yin and yang of life, isn't it?
Well, yes, but then you should be used to the sound of your own voice by now. So
that doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, well, that is true as well. I don't think anybody likes the sound of their own voice.
I have no idea where anyone listens to me. I sound like this and I talk nonsense, but apparently it's a thing. So
it's quite entertaining nonsense though, so you know.
Thank you. The last stream I did got derailed in the best possible way as well, which was good fun.
Good. In what way did did your visitors manage to derail that stream?
Well, we do on Fridays, we do the retro ant stream streams.
Yes.
Small plug, using the name Tristabytes on antstream.com gets you 50% off for a year. And it's thousands of retro games. You can stream them, yeah. You can play whatever you like. There's also leaderboards, competitions. I was involved in an asteroids tournament for a bit where I was in 17th place very briefly. I ended up in 50th place though.
I was going to say, from the few bits...
It was just absolutely... trounced my score.
I saw a couple of you playing that a couple of times and dying horribly very, very quickly, so I'm not surprised.
In my defense, I'm both terrible at asteroids.
Yes.
That's the base. Secondly, the asteroids tournament was a challenge tournament, so it's a pacifist run, no shooting.
Right.
And secondly, whenever you move, you're instantly at full speed.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's quite difficult. Yes.
So it's a combination of trying to slow your ship down by doing quick turns, pausing, and then playing chicken against the asteroids because you're not allowed to shoot them. So you're fine until you panic, at which point you're just zipping around at full speed until you fly into something. I managed about 37 seconds, and one of my viewers called Grail managed 112.
Wow.
So that, I ended up in 50th place.
That's quite impressive. I mean, that's asteroids was never the easiest thing to control in the first place. So, you know, that's still quite amazing.
He was also not happy with that score and thought he could have done better if the tournament had lasted longer, which didn't at all totally kick me a bit while I was down. And as well as doing a bit of that, I've been playing run-throughs of Metal Slug X, and on Friday I was feeling a little bit under the weather and very, very tired, and was just not doing as well as the week before at this, and was like, okay, I think I'm just not going to do well on this. I let viewers suggest another few games that I can try out, because I let people just send me whatever games are on Antstream. They can send me the name of one they used to play when they were a kid and give it a go. And then somehow, I can't remember how the segue happened. Do you know when you can't remember how something got from point A to point Z?
Yes.
We started talking about an OS variant. It's like a top layer that goes on Windows 3.1 or Windows 95.
Right.
It's called Windows Bob.
Right. Okay.
It's the OS sort of overlay that makes it friendlier. Read totally unusable, ridiculously power hungry, covered in graphics.
Right.
And just, it's an animated room. It's based on Clip-It, which most people call Clippy, you know, the thing everyone hates. Yeah.
Yes, the annoying little pop-up of, hey, I see you're writing a document, that one, yes.
So that, but an entire OS based on that principle.
Oh my God, yes.
And we went down the rabbit hole of looking this up on the internet, and that was a wonderfully fun and educational, because I like to think I know a reasonable amount about computer systems and OSs and, you know, these kind of things. It's an industry I've worked in for a long time, but I personally didn't know there was a thing called Windows Bob that was the reason for Comic Sans' existence and has a logo that's basically the acid face with sunglasses on.
Yes, it's more nerd glasses, isn't it, than sunglasses? But yes, I have a very vague recollection of this somewhere in the dusty, dark parts of my memory. I vaguely
tried to black it out, and now I've brought it back.
Yeah. Wow.
It's very, very bizarre. And you look at it, and you're just like, "That's clearly 100% a terrible idea." So yeah, of course they made it, and it was very expensive, and it wasn't on the market for very long.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
That was good fun. That sent me down on a whole tangent of looking up things on the internet, and that was very good fun. I enjoyed it greatly. Watching things wise, I'm patiently waiting for the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
And have been watching a bit more of Snowpiercer.
How are you getting on with that?
I really like it.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it as well.
I really like it. So I've been sort of like being slightly annoyed by the fact you have to wait a week for each episode at the moment, because I want to watch it. I don't always have time in a week to watch one episode of a TV series. So sometimes that means I have to wait 2 weeks to watch an episode, which is not what this week by week release thing is supposed to be.
Yes, absolutely.
That's slightly frustrating, although I understand why from a business perspective they do like to do this. But I'm hoping Umbrella Academy will be released in one massive chunk so I can just watch that at my leisure.
Yes, it will be. So that will all drop as a box set. Amazon have started moving towards this idea of, or certainly with The Boys, they're releasing it the same way Apple do theirs, which is releasing the first three at once and then releasing the rest of them weekly afterwards. So I don't know whether that's what they're going to do on various things moving forward, but that's how Apple have always released theirs. Thankfully, Netflix have not gone down that model yet. So it's only when stuff is bought in from US networks that you end up having it come on Netflix weekly. So hopefully they'll keep doing it as just dropping the entire box set. Anything else?
Is that not enough?
No, that's plenty.
Just every week you're like, anything else?
I don't want you to miss anything.
You've not seen the size of my lawn. That took a lot of time.
I need to do mine as well. For me, gaming-wise, I've been flipping around trying to find something that's kind of really going to obsess me a bit, like some of the other games have recently, because I'm sort of off the Anno stuff now. I've been playing that mainly for the last few weeks, and
you stopped playing Satisfactory now?
Yes, I've left Satisfactory. I'm waiting for some more updates on that. It is now out on Steam, though, and I'm kind of tempted to maybe buy it on Steam if they start allowing them to use the Steam Workshop, because at the moment it's not connected to the Steam Workshop, because, you know, the Steam has this setup where if people build mods and stuff, they have a workshop system, so you can upload the mods and like easily install them and uninstall them through Steam. And if they decide to incorporate that, I'd be quite tempted to use the Steam system rather than the Epic Game Store, because I'm not a huge fan of the Epic Game Store. It's got some great stuff on there, it's got some great deals, but the interface is nowhere near as kind of polished as Steam is. So I'm sort of tempted to get it again on Steam if they do that, but for the moment, no. I've kind of played around that with that quite a lot. The one thing that has popped up this week that I wanted to give a try was Starbase Startopia. Do you remember the original Startopia game?
Rings a bell, but I don't think it's one I played.
It was one of these building games, as many of the games that I play are. It's by a company called Mucky Foot Productions. They were ex-Bullfrog people, if you remember that company.
Yeah.
Basically, you're in charge of a space station, and it's quite a comical, funny space station.
Yeah, did it have quite wacky visuals?
Yes, had quite sort of strange, wacky visuals, and you've pretty much got to sort of set up stuff inside the station for them to do, and you can grow plants and things, and you hire your sort of workers. So it's sort of a business simulation thing of a space station, is essentially what it is. Come out with a new version of it. It's in beta release right now, and you can get into the beta if you pre-purchase the game, which is due to come out towards the end of the year at some point. But they are running betas right now, which is the first sort of few levels. So I'm playing around with that. I have very fond memories of the original game, and it seems to be on the right sort of track. The interface is a little bit janky in places at the moment, and there's obviously some polish that needs doing on it, but there's a lot of humour in it. They've got a very sarcastic robot that is the sort of, or AI robot voice that they use, which is brilliant and very funny. I'd like to see a little bit more humour in the characters and the animations and stuff, but you know, overall, it's been quite good fun playing around with that. If you like those sort of building games, which obviously I do, it's a good starting point so far. But as I say, it's still in development, so I'd need to see a bit more of it really before I could make any clear judgment on it. So that's where I've been gaming on. TV-wise, Hamilton, of course, as I mentioned last week, Hamilton launched on Disney+. I loved it. I thought they've done a really solid job of capturing the theatre experience as best they possibly can in that. What really surprised me is, I mean, I knew Lin-Manuel Miranda was Hamilton in it. Some of the other faces, like I knew David Diggs from Snowpiercer, obviously he's in it as well. He plays Lafayette and he plays Jefferson. The one face that did pop up that I was like, hang on, wait, is that a guy called Christopher Jackson? Christopher Jackson plays the character of Chunk in Bull, the CBS crime drama. And I had no clue that he was in this. And it was, you know, when he comes on, he's kind of, you know, he obviously is dressed up and you kind of look slightly different. I was like, wait, is that Chunk? So I had no idea that's where he started. So I was really interested to see him on there. He's got a great voice as well. He plays Washington in it. But you actually look through the cast that's on there. They've all pretty much gone on to do incredible other things. You know, they've all gone on to TV roles or movie roles or all that sort of stuff as well. And not necessarily in musicals, you know, they've gone on, some of them been in musicals, some of them have gone on to do just straight TV and film things. But honestly, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal musical. And if you're a fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda, or if you're a fan of stage shows or just great, great pieces of music, it's well worth going to watch. It's really solid addition to Disney Plus. In terms of other stuff, Warrior Nun got released this week. We talked about this, I think, last time you were on.
Yes, we did. It had just been, I think it was the first time with I'd heard it had been made into a series. So you've been watching it?
Yes, I'm about 4 episodes in at the moment. It's really good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It seems to be doing reasonably well in the charts as well. I think it was number 3 or number 4 when I last checked in the Netflix UK chart. So it seems to be going down particularly well. It slightly alters the origin, I think, from the actual book, as far as I can tell. But it works. In the book, I think the idea is that she's being kind of chosen for this and was a nun and had been training her entire life and was sort of at an orphanage and then kind of went to Japan and got chained and then kind of came back. You know, that's the sort of book version of it. What they've done for the TV show is they've changed that origin story. So it's a 19-year-old girl who had been in an orphanage, but she had been in a car accident with her parents while she'd been on holiday. Her parents had been killed. There were no other family. She'd been dumped at this orphanage at the age of 12 and was paraplegic. And when she dies under slightly mysterious circumstances, she ends up being sort of laid out in this church. And there is this big holy battle that kind of starts on around her. And she ends up with this halo, which is this magical thing, getting stuck in her back whilst she's dead as a way of them trying to hide it from the thing that's chasing them, and it brings her back to life. And that's the way they kind of do the origin for it in this. So although it is changed from the original book, I think it works quite well because you've now got a character where I think with the book version, there's a lot of exposition to get through before you get to kind of the actual story. Whereas with this version, you're in at the ground floor where she doesn't know what's going on. The audience doesn't really know what's going on. And you're along on that ride with her. So I think as a starting point, it makes it work a lot easier. And there's also a certain amount of kind of buffiness to it in that she's quite reluctant about the fact that she's suddenly found herself with these weird superpowers and she's kind of doesn't know how to deal with it. So I think it works extremely well. There's an interesting cast of characters around her as well. It's a little bit slow to get going. It takes sort of 3 episodes really before it starts to kind of build a bit of a pace, but I'm enjoying it. It is definitely worth watching.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's another one of those things where we're having a discussion and I go, ha, that's the comic book I didn't expect to get, adapted into a Netflix series. And they just seem to be casting their net quite wide on quite a variety of stuff at the moment. And I'm quite impressed by just the amount of different things that are popping up as adaptations. And it's an interesting one because I'm not entirely sure it's something I would normally watch, but I was a big fan of things like Buffy. So if it has that kind of vibe to it, then yeah, maybe it is something that's going to draw me in. Plus, somehow I ended up watching all three seasons of Sabrina. So
exactly. Yeah.
Maybe there is more of an appetite for the kind of magic and mythology stuff in myself than I'd realized.
Yeah, I think given that you did watch all of Sabrina and
I still don't know why, but yeah.
And yeah, like you say, fan of Buffy as well. There is a certain amount of that to it. And I like the characterization. I like her as a character. I think she is really quite interesting. There are obviously the actual order of the sort of warrior nun order, which is in the books as well, that is still there. So she's kind of has to end up, presumably by the end of the series, she's going to end up like properly joining this order. So there are a bunch of other girls around her as well who are also quite interesting characters. So there's a nice setup. As I say, the first couple of episodes, it's a little bit slow to kind of get to the point. So it takes sort of probably the first three before you really kind of getting into it properly. But it is really, really solid. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's definitely one that I'm going to be watching to the end, I think, that. The other thing on Netflix which I started watching was Unsolved Mysteries, which seems to be going down incredibly well. That's just fascinating. It's hour-long documentaries of these various unsolved mysteries.
The clue's in the name.
Yes, pretty much. I think this was a show which had run on sort of various channels. I think NBC had a version, CBS had a version, Netflix have now got this as well, and they've got kind of a new version. And it takes a look at cold cases, things where there have been, in some cases, strange phenomena. You know, they've claims of alien induction in one of them. In some cases, it's just where a person has mysteriously disappeared and looking at the surroundings, or where there's been a murder where they've not found conclusively the person that did it. So it's just fascinating and really kind of interesting. So if you like those kind of true crime things, which I'm quite partial to the occasional true crime thing, I found this really intriguing. I'm quite enjoying that. It is well worth going to watch if you've not seen it. And as I say, there is a mixture of some paranormal sort of stuff as well. So that's on Netflix as well. So that's all the stuff I've been doing this week and you've been doing this week. And let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we start off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. A few renewals. We've got Ozark, which has been renewed for a fourth and final season. However, they've also expanded it to 14 episodes and it's going to be split into two halves of 7 episodes each. They've done that with a number of shows for the final seasons because that's what they're doing with, well, the next season of Lucifer, which is split into two bits. They've done it with some other things as well, where they've kind of renewed it for a season, but then split the season into two halves, effectively creating two mini-seasons, which is a weird way of doing it, but that's what they're doing. So Ozark is back for a fourth and final season. You've got The Kominsky Method, that's been renewed for a third and final season. That's the Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin series. And Hulu has renewed The Great, which is airing on Starzplay over here. They've renewed that for a second season, which was quite a bit of a surprise, because I'm sure that was announced as a mini season in the first place, or a mini series, and they've now said that they're going to make more of it. So that is back. In terms of cancellations, there is one, and it's a bit of a surprise. It's Katie Keene, which was the Riverdale spin-off on the CW. And this is the first show the CW has actively cancelled since 2018. And the 2018 show they cancelled was Valor, which was an army base or a helicopter pilots or something. And it was one of those shows that when they announced it, you were like, what the hell is that doing on the CW? So it wasn't a great shot when that one got cancelled. I'm very surprised that Katie Keene hasn't made it through, because it's a spin-off from Riverdale. Its numbers were actually better than some other shows, like Dynasty apparently had lower ratings than Katie Keene. And it's a Berlanti series, and Berlanti produces half the shows on that network already. So I was rather shocked that they did this. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Riverdale at this point. I think it went completely off the rails, and I have no idea whether this was any good or not, but just seemed quite surprising that, you know, given the CW's generally kind of fluffy reputation for not cancelling anything, that seemed like an odd one for them to pick out and decide to cancel. But maybe it was expensive to produce, I don't know. In terms of pickups, we have Alibi, the UK channel, has picked up three CBS dramas: Why Women Kill, Evil, and Tommy. Tommy was a Eddie Falco series where she plays a police chief, Eddie Falco from The Sopranos. That only ran for one season before it was cancelled, so they've picked that up, so you can see the one season of that. Evil is essentially a supernatural X-Files, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. That does look like it could be quite interesting. Interesting for Alibi to pick that up. Why Women Kill is a thing that follows three different women in three different ages. Lucy Liu is one of the cast, and I believe it's stories of why these three women killed their either respective partners or whoever it was. It was a CBS All Access show. That looks quite interesting as a series, so I'm quite intrigued to see that as well. We've not got air dates for any of those, but they could be worth looking at. Evil, I think, might be one that maybe appeals to you. I mean, it's supernatural rather than sci-fi, but you know.
Yeah, I'm also quite a fan of Lucy Liu, so Why Women Kill, and the fact it's set in different time zones,
yes,
seems quite an interesting one as well. I quite like things that have compare and contrast narratives, so if there's people with similar motivations or differences between their motivations but doing similar actions across different times and places, like, I actually quite like that narrative style. So I think actually that's the one that's jumping out the most at me.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I
just to throw you a curveball, just go for the non-genre one.
Yeah. It's like a housewife in the 50s and then sort of a businesswoman in the 80s, and then there's somebody either, you know, 90s or modern day or something is the idea, and it's following these three different women. But that I think looks really quite interesting. As I say, it's a CBS All Access show, so but they're all coming to Alibi at some point this year. We just don't know when yet. They've not actually put dates out yet. Bull is returning to the UK, having been dropped earlier in the year by Fox. They've now, I think, decided, we've not got that much content, and decided to pick up the full season. So that will be returning on the 3rd of August, which, the issues behind the scenes aside, which there were some, but I do quite like that show, and it's quite enjoyable. So I'm quite happy to have that back. I know there's a lot of people that were looking for that to return, but that's 3rd of August at 9 p.m. on Fox that is returning. Sky One has also picked up Prodigal Son, which is this serial killer show starring Michael Sheen and Tom Payne. Tom Payne being the person that played Jesus on Walking Dead, and Michael Sheen being the legendary Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen plays a serial killer. Tom Payne plays a criminal psychologist. The criminal psychologist also just so happens to be the son of the serial killer as well. So it's got a kind of Hannibal Lectery vibe going on to it. I'm told it's quite
good. Almost reminds me of like the sort of cat and mousiness that we had in Death Note, if you remember, the anime version, not the live action film version, where you've got the police chief in charge of trying to find out who's responsible for a series of killings of criminals, and it's their son.
Okay, yeah.
So similar vibe, but less supernatural with demons, I'm assuming, but a more grounded version of that kind of narrative, which is always quite interesting to see that kind of cat and mouse and people who have conflicting motivations and are usually somewhat blinded to the truth, even when some of the facts start to add up because they're too close to the suspect.
In this particular case, I get the feeling that it is slightly more a sort of Hannibal Lectery setup, because I think it's not him chasing the serial killer. It's the serial killer has already been locked up. So, and I think it might be using either a copycat sort of thing, or, you know, that looks like it's quite good. It's another Berlanti show. They're exec producers on it. It's written by Chris Fedak, who wrote on Chuck and Deception, and Sam Scaflar, who wrote on Deception and Bored to Death as well. So just kind of interesting writers. Deception looked like an interesting show as well, but didn't last very long, unfortunately. But this seems to have gone down particularly well. It is penciled in to come to Sky One on Tuesday, the 28th of July at the moment. That is not 100% confirmed date. It may move from that date. They may shift it back a bit, but they have definitely got the rights to it. It is definitely coming. But if it moves from that date, don't be overly surprised. But that is where it's been set at the moment. The last little bit of news is the Falcon and Winter Soldier and Loki are both apparently returning to filming in August, it has been announced. So that is good news that they are going to be back, hopefully, sooner rather than later. Because Falcon and Winter Soldier was originally set to premiere in August. So unless they've only got tiny, tiny bits to do, and they're not going to drop the whole thing at once and they're going to put it out weekly, which is what Disney Plus tends to do. So it is conceivable that, I mean, if they've only got a couple of bits to finish on the episodes, it is conceivable they could still be shooting next month and put it out weekly if there's 10 episodes and maybe they've only got bits and pieces to do on the finale. It is conceivable that Falcon Winter Soldier could still come out next month, although I strongly suspect it's going to get moved back a bit. Apparently they were shooting in Prague before their lockdown. It looks like that's going to be back to filming in August, and Loki will also be back to filming, and that's at Pinewood Atlanta. I can hear you Googling tickets to Atlanta already.
don't know what you're talking about. I'm not hacking into their systems and trying to like accidentally reroute all of the stars to my address to film here instead.
No, of course not.
I mean, of course not.
You've got a green screen. That would be fine.
It would be fine. It'll be fine. I think we could produce the series from here. The green screen's pretty good. I've got some lights. I could make them cups of tea. They're American. They wouldn't know my cups of tea are terrible. I think it would work out fine. I'm moderately interested, possibly, maybe, slightly, a little bit excited about the fact that Loki might get filmed.
You've also got WandaVision, they're saying, could go back into production this month, and Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. He's also looking back to get into production. That's shooting in Australia, apparently, that. So it sounds like the Marvel Universe is slowly getting itself back on track, which is nice. On other news stories, NBC, after we went through all the NBC pilots last week, and there was a couple of shows, if you were listening to last week's show, that they mentioned that may or may not get picked up. They were still in a bit in limbo. One of them was called Debris, and I think we talked about this the week before, actually. They announced literally an hour after I finished recording the podcast with Daryl last week, it was about an hour afterwards, and they announced that they'd pick this up to series. So Debris was the series which stars Ryan Steele as an MI6 agent called Finola Jones and Jonathan Tuck as a CIA agent called Brian Viventi. And they are two agents from two different continents with two different mindsets who must work together to investigate when a wreckage from a destroyed alien spacecraft has a mysterious effect on humankind. Somewhat in the vein of X-Files, Steele's Jones is the MI6 rule follower, while Tucker's Viventi is the headstrong smart operative who investigates strange occurrences for the CIA. I remember when we talked about this last, you were like, yeah, this very much hinges on exactly what that mysterious effect on humankind is.
Yeah, it's going to be something that comes down to the writing of these two characters and how they play off each other. And also, yeah, what is the actual hook? What is the mystery? Are we not going to see what that is for half a series and it's going to be a sort of big reveal? And in that case, is it going to be good or not? Or it's very difficult to tell from the description exactly how this is going to play out. But it's written by by Wyman, and Fringe is good fun, and Almost Human I thought was amazing and cut horribly, horribly short.
Yeah.
So I think that alone gives me the idea that the writing on this could be pretty fun and could be pretty good.
Yeah. The series does come from J.H. Wyman, who was writer, director and showrunner on Fringe. So was basically, despite the fact that it was a J.J. Abrams series, was pretty much the man that was behind it. And he created Almost Human, which was that wonderful cop show about a cop and his robot android counterpart. I thought that was an amazing, amazing series. So it's such a shame that that got cut down. So Rhianne Steele, who is the British lead, she has popped up on things like The Magicians, NCIS New Orleans. She was in Holby City for quite a while. She was also on Crazy Head, which was that short-lived Channel 4 series. And I think it's on Netflix now as well. Jonathan Tucker was in Snowfall and City on a Hill. He's also been in Westworld as Major Craddock in Westworld, he was. And he's been on Kingdom and Parenthood and apparently popped up in the Charlie's Angels movie as well. So, you know, they're both reasonably experienced actors. It's going to be interesting to see this come together. Particularly, I mean, I love Wyman's writing. I think that could be a really interesting show. That's coming to NBC. If it's on NBC, there is a possibility that we may get it on Sky One over here, but we'll have to wait and see. ABC also announced their pilot orders. They've ordered 5, rolled 3 to next season and dropped 2. And actually, out of everything, the 2 that they dropped are probably the most interesting ones as far as I'm concerned. But the 5 they picked up were Rebel, which stars Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy. She stars as Anne Rebel Bello, who's a blue-collar legal advocate without a law degree. She's funny, messy, brilliant, fearless woman who cares creatively about the causes she fights for and the people she loves. If that's sounding very much like Erin Brockovich, it is because it is entirely based on the life of Erin Brockovich, and she is an exec producer on the series. So essentially, it's Erin Brockovich, the TV series, pretty much, just it's a very fictionalized version of it, which is fine. And I think if you're going to put anybody in that role for a TV role, Katie Sagal is exactly the person you want there. She's a phenomenally good actress, and I think that sounds like it could be a really solid show. There is one called Harlem's Kitchen, which is Delroy Lindo from The Good Fight as an exec chef and patriarch who runs a successful fine dining restaurant in Harlem with his wife and his 3 daughters, but an unexpected death thrusts the family into turmoil and puts the restaurant's future in jeopardy as long buried secrets are revealed. Again, it's a very vague kind of setup for that. It sounds like some sort of big family drama. So I don't know. We'll have to see. So that's Harlem's Kitchen. The next one is called Bossy, which is a multi-cam comedy that follows a diva boss with zero patience for working parents. However, when she adopts a baby herself, she has a change of heart and she casts her mother of 3 assistant as an unlikely mentor and upending their office dynamic. I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. But it does come from somebody who is a writer-producer on Friends and Speechless. And, I mean, Friends is obviously Friends. And Speechless, I thought, was an utterly brilliant series. So, whilst I'm kind of a bit meh about the setup, I do rather like the sound of the person that's behind it. So, I have to wait and see with that. That's called Bossy. There's one called Home Economics, which is a single-camera comedy which follows 3 adult siblings in very different financial circumstances. One is 1%, one is middle class and barely holding on, and then there's one who's very much sort of down and out. The only person cast at the moment is Topher Grace from That 70s Show and the Spider-Man movies, who is the middle child and the one that's sort of the middle class middle child. Again, that's a comedy. I don't really have a huge amount of faith in that, but we'll have to wait and see. And then there's one called Work Wife, which follows a platonic male-female team whose professional success and personal friendship and ability to share deodorant makes their lives work. It's set in the world of real estate. It's actually inspired inspired by the real life partnerships of co-hosts and friends Kelly Ripper and Ryan Seacrest, and the Real O'Neill's co-creators Casey Johnson and David Windsor. So it's based around some of the experiences that they have had, and they're all exec producers on it. Again, it could be an interesting setup for one. It's not massively my sort of thing, I don't think, but that's a comedy coming as well. So those are the five that they're piloting. The two that they actually decided that they're not moving forward with, I think, were the most interesting ones. One, which was the Berlanti series, The Brides, which is this thing we've been talking about quite a bit, which was the tale of Dracula, but basically told from the point of view of the three brides that have managed to escape his grasp into the sort of real world and get on with their lives. And I thought this was a really interesting idea, because it was this sort of vampire soap they billed it as. It had a really good cast. It was from Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who was one of the writers on Riverdale, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Supergirl. It also had Gina Torres, Erin Richards, and Catherine Reese in the cast, alongside Goran Visnjic, who was set to pop up as Dracula. So it had a really solid cast and had a setup. Yeah. And I'm quite surprised that
that's been cut off at pilot. Mm. That was something I thought would at least get to one series, because it's kind of a bit different and fun, and it had so many names that looked like they'd all work really well together involved.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is it maybe not the year for it, and ABC just thought that looks quite expensive. And if it's coming from Berlanti, that probably means it's a Warner Brothers produced show. So it's a buy-in show for ABC rather than one that they are producing directly, which makes it more expensive at the back end. That may be one of the reasons why they decided not to move forward with it. But it's an odd one, that.
Yeah, I wonder if they could shop it to anywhere else at this point.
The logical place to shop it to would be either Netflix, where they've got Sabrina, or you try and shop it to the CW, would be the other obvious place for it as well.
Yeah.
It's then part of the Warner Brothers family. But yeah, I'm surprised that it didn't even get... I mean, I don't know whether they'd shot anything in terms of pilot-wise, but... I'm surprised that it didn't get further than that, because it sounds like it sort of died at script stage, which is weird. The other thing they've dropped was 30-something else, which you might be old enough to remember the 30-something TV show.
I don't think I watched it.
I watched it a little bit, I think, but I mean, we were probably a little bit young. It was sort of aimed at older people when it was out, because it was like 87 to 91. So
I would have been watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. So would have been a bit young for it. I'm aware of it being on. I remember it being on. That's a follow-up to the original 30-something TV series. It was called 30-something else. The idea was to follow the kids of the original cast. And I think the problem with this was purely cost, because it was basically had a large ensemble cast, because that was sort of the point of it, was it's this group of 30-something friends. But on top of that, you have the additional layer of the fact that they needed to get some of the original cast back to play the parents. And because it had to be the original cast, they can command quite a large fee for coming back and doing that. So it was going to be quite expensive to put together for what would be essentially an unproven show, because you've got this young cast who might be relatively cheap, but are probably relatively unknowns. So you're relying on the older cast to maybe draw some of the original audience back in. And I mean, the original show was absolutely massive in America, particularly. I mean, it was quite big over here, but it was huge in America. So you would have thought it was worth them taking a punt on. But again, I think this could be another case of this is not the year to do it when everything's struggling a bit financially. So it may come round again at some point, but we don't know. There was a third thing called Valley Trash, which was a comedy as well, which was also cancelled. I won't go into that one because it's not turning up. But yeah, I think out of the things that they have ordered, I'm quite interested to see Rebel. but the other stuff I'm not overly bothered about. And again, no genre things. I mean, there wasn't, apart from The Brides, there wasn't really anything genre in there that they were piloting, as far as I can tell. But given that they cancelled Emergence pretty much straight away, maybe that's possibly a good thing.
Yeah, and as you say, it's possibly not the year for some networks to be commissioning science fiction and things with expensive special effects.
Yes, quite possibly. So anyway, I mean, we'll see what comes out of that. There may be some other stuff that they've already picked up as well. I can't remember with ABC. So certainly out of the stuff they have announced, I think Rebel sounds interesting. Moving on to other shows, one thing that has got me quite excited and they've announced is a Fallout TV series, which is in the works at Amazon. And it's from Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, the people behind Westworld. It's their production company, Kilter Films, are the people behind it. It may be a case that they are exec producing and not show running it, given that they've committed to all seasons of Westworld. Plus, they're also doing The Peripheral as well. So they've got quite a lot on. It may be that they're just exec producing this rather than actually show running it. But, I mean, obviously Fallout, beloved set of games. If you slightly ignore Fallout 76, the latest iteration, which kind of was a bit hit and miss, but certainly Fallout 4, one of the best-selling games of all time. The games, if you somehow don't know about them, but I'm sure all of you do, set in an alt history, they're kind of post-apocalyptic world where large numbers of the human race are survived by holding themselves up in underground bunkers called vaults. In most of the games, you play one of the vault dwellers who left the vault for the first time and is exploring the outside world, which is sort of filled with mutated monsters and rad-infected humans and bottle caps are the main currency. And you also have this added layer of the fact that Vault-Tec, the people that create the vaults, often experimented on the people inside the vaults as well, which is an interesting thing you can possibly play around with. So
yeah, all the nice standard sci-fi post-apocalyptic craziness. I was quite surprised to hear they were making it into a series. I think it's quite interesting. We don't have like a generally huge positive reception to TV and film made from computer games for the most part. And it's such a huge and varied world in Fallout that it gives them quite free rein to come up with something within that world without having to follow anything from the games too specifically.
Yeah.
So I'm quite interested in this one, but I haven't played a huge amount of the games.
I've probably got, I don't know, 600 hours or something in Fallout 4. It's one of my most played games. So I've spent hours and hours and hours in Fallout 4 particularly. I've played a little bit of Fallout 76 and, you know, they've vastly improved on what it was when they first released it, but still not a patch on Fallout 4. And Fallout New Vegas was brilliant. I played Fallout 3 as well. So they are games that I really love. I love the humor in it. I love this the sort of dark, humorous tone that they've put across everything. It's got this really interesting visual style to it as well, of this sort of 1950s atomic steampunky thing going on.
I think a lot of people will recognize some of the graphics and some of the new Coca-Cola stuff and those things, even if they don't know the game. It managed to work its way into sort of pop culture knowledge for the masses, even if people didn't play games, because it has that strong a sense of visual identity.
Yeah, so it will be really interesting to see where they go with it. I think Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan could be great as exec producers on it. I would love to see somebody with a dark sense of humour take over it. The person I would really like to see showrun it would be Eric Kripke, who obviously has a connection to Amazon because he's the person behind The Boys. I would love to see him bounce backwards and forwards between The Boys and this.
I think that would be a great fit because it would bring that right level of dark, straight-faced, satirical, evil humour to it, which I think would be a really nice undercurrent to the show.
Yeah, and I think it could do with the weight of somebody like Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan behind it to help craft the world, because I think Kripke is a brilliant, brilliant writer, but he's also a wonderful collaborator as well. I loved his original story for Supernatural, but I've really liked his other stuff like Timeless and Revolution, but he's done a phenomenal job with The Boys, and it needs somebody with that dark level of humour to be able to tackle this. And I think maybe Lisa and Jonathan have some of that, but I think you could do with a showrunner of that sort of twisted mindset as well.
Yeah, so maybe like a, you know, if they could get Charlie Brooker in to co-write a couple of episodes, that would be awesome as well. That would be another good fit for that world.
He is a big gaming nerd as well, so I mean, somebody like Charlie Brooker would be amazing on this.
Yeah, I would love to see him get his hands on a world like that and get to write some of it. I suspect he wouldn't be brought on as a primary writer for the whole thing, but it would be lovely to see somebody like that be involved in some way, shape or form, because it's just such a perfect fit.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it actually pans out. As I say, it's Kilter Films that are making it, which is Nolan and Joy's company. They are on as producers, not necessarily as showrunners. We'll have to see where it goes from there. But yeah, that's definitely going to be one to watch. They have ordered a series, or they have given it a series commitment. So it sounds like it is definitely coming. This isn't just a sort of, I mean, it could fall apart still, but it sounds like it's definitely coming. They have committed to making a series out of it. Don't know when that will land. It could easily be 2022 before we actually see anything of it, but we'll have to wait and see. The other thing that Nolan and Joy are working on is a version of The Peripheral as well. They're in pre-production in that, so they've got a lot on their plate right now. Moving on, it was announced that David Farr, who was the writer of The Night Manager, more Tom Hiddleston, is developing an adaptation of the classic sci-fi novel, The Midwich Cuckoos. You might not know the name of The Midwich Cuckoos. The chances are you know the film versions better, which were called Village of the Damned. The novel is set in 1950s rural England, where a strange incident at a village of Midwich leaves all the women of childbearing age pregnant. The children are born, they appear normal except for unusual golden eyes and light blonde hair and pale silvery skin. As they grow old, they begin to show strange powers, and it becomes apparent they may not be of this earth. So if you've seen Village of the Damned, you know what that setup is. David Farr also wrote Hannah as well, the Amazon series. This seems like a pretty solid setup, and I can see this working as probably a mini series more than, well, maybe an ongoing thing, but certainly a mini-series. He's writing this for Sky, though, apparently.
Could be an interesting one. Anything that's kind of got such a strong underlying kind of horror type, you know, with a plot reveal like that, it's difficult to make it a really long, ongoing series. Because after you get to the reveal, you either then stop, or you then have to delve massively deeper into what happens next, for which there is no book material, I don't think. So that will be an interesting one if they decide to make it a long-running thing, because they'll have to expand and sort of, I guess, change the tone. Or are they going to assume that everyone knows the twist and they're going to put that quite early on and then make it what happens next kind of as a plot development?
I think that they've got to assume that people know it. In actual fact, I mean, I don't know when it's revealed in the book, but, you know, there is obviously an alien. I think in the book it is, there is kind of an alien egg or something that lands in the middle of the town, like a, you know, there's a totem or something. So it's fairly obvious it's aliens from kind of quite early on. So I think you can probably do that. And as people will know the story of Village of the Damned, I think going back to the original source material is fine. But apparently Wyndham started to write a sequel to it as well, so there may be, if they can get a hold of some of the stuff from that, it maybe you could expand it a little bit more, depending where he was going with that. But I think it's an interesting one, but it's been written by David Farr for Sky at the moment, so I mean, that's got a sort of Sky Atlantic written all over it, I rather suspect. Maybe Sky One, but probably Sky Atlantic. That would be one to look out for. Don't know when that, again, is likely to land, but it is one that looks interesting. Lastly, Comedy Central has given a 2-season order to a reboot of Beavis and Butthead from Mike Judge. I assume you remember Beavis and Butthead.
I do, yes.
So for the younger people among you, they were launched in 1993. They were very much a sort of zeitgeisty pop culture phenomena by Mike Judge, who is gone on to create some other wonderful things afterwards. It's centered around two teenage couch potatoes called Beavis and Butthead. They pretty much invaded most of the pop culture of the sort of of late Gen X people as well. The idea with this is that they're going to update it. So then rather than being sort of Gen X generation, they're going to be more Gen Z. So it's going to be kind of TikTok and online stuff and phones and all that sort of thing. So
I could barely cope with them the first time around. I'm really not sure I could cope with them being this generation's version of annoying teenagers. You couldn't really turn on MTV without them being there in some way, shape or form at the time. And weirdly, I'm pretty sure that Daria was an offshoot from Beavis and Butthead as well.
It may very well have been. I'm
pretty sure Daria turned up in a couple of episodes of Beavis and Butthead as a kind of counterpoint because she's so dry and sarcastic. Then span off into another series. And Daria was an amazing series. I very, very, very much love. And that's probably the only reason I could tolerate the existence of Beavis and Butthead, because I very much just constantly want to punch both characters in the face.
Yes.
Which is kind of how you're supposed to feel about them. But yeah, I find them irritating, but in the non-entertaining way. But they are still seminal, animated, teenage, adult humor kind of cartoon characters. And I'm sort of, it's morbid curiosity that makes me want to see this new version.
Yes, I'm kind of with you on that. I felt very much the same way as I watched them a little bit, and there was odd little bits of humor which I quite liked, but they were extremely annoying. And it kickstarted Mike Judge's career, though, and he went on to make King of the Hill, or co-create King of the Hill, and the brilliant Silicon Valley as well. So, you know, it was sort of good in that respect. But yeah, and they were iconic characters. It's interesting that they've got that much confidence in it, that they've ordered 2 seasons and specials and spin-offs and other things for it. So they're really going full steam at it. This is Comedy Central in the US as well, so there's no guarantee it'll end up in Comedy Central in the UK. But
because we were supposed to be watching it to be kind of laughing at people our own age, which would imply that this new version is for younger people to be laughing at people their age rather than aimed at us to be laughing at the next generation. I'm just there's going to be lots of people talking about this in terms of like Zs and Xs and generations and things. So I'm curious to know who it's written for. Is it written for us, or is it written for a new generation to find this cartoon and identify and laugh at / with whatever it was at this one in the way we were at the original?
They apparently are trying to aim it at the Gen X parents and the Gen Z kids. So it's trying to do both, which I'm not sure how that's going to work. Interesting anyway. Don't know when that's probably going to land. It could conceivably be later this year, but it may be next year when that turns up. But they have already ordered 2 seasons of it. So yes, expect to see Beavis and Butthead head back to your TV screens at some point in the not too distant future. So that's all the news we got for this week. Let's move on to the highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week, we have a few shows returning and a few new things as well. We've got Miss America, which is coming to BBC Two on the 8th of July at 9 p.m. This is the true story of a movement to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment and the unexpected backlash led by a conservative woman called Phyllis Schlafly, played by Kate Blanchett. So that's a little mini-series. It's an FX show in the US, and it's one of those series. So that looks like it could be quite good. FBI Season 2, that returns on the 9th of July to Sky Witness, and you can find that at 9 p.m. Get Shorty Season 3 turns to Sky Atlantic. That's on the 9th of July at 9 p.m. Roswell, New Mexico Season 2, which is basically going to follow directly on from Season 1. That's been great, actually. If you're looking for a kind of good sci-fi series that's like fun and easily watchable, that's on ITV 2. Second season is on 9th of July at 8 p.m, but you can go and kind of get catch-up stuff on Season 1. Have you watched any of this yet?
I haven't actually seen any of it. yet. How kind of young adult teen drama is it?
It actually isn't, because they aged everybody up. You know, it's based on the Roswell High books originally. Rather than being teenagers this time, they've aged everybody's kind of mid-late 20s. So it's them coming back. It starts off with them having been teenagers in school, but they've kind of moved everything forward 10 years. It starts off with somebody coming back to town, having left, and she returns, and that's the sort of thing that kicks off everything. So it's far more in the sort of supernaturally kind of bracket than being a angsty teen drama bracket.
Yeah, I wondered if it was going to be a little bit, you know, Smallville-y in tone, but yeah, okay. I've written that one off too soon then.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, because I thought, oh, I'll watch a few episodes of it and see what I think. But it's on ITV2. It'd be on catch up, but I don't know how long the episodes are on there, so it might be worth going to check. But I've been thoroughly enjoying that. It's really easily watchable. They're running it out nightly, so you can kind of go and like just binge through it pretty much. You can binge through the first like 8 or 10 episodes or whatever it is they've already released. But season 2 is arriving on the 9th of July, and that's basically going to run straight into the back of season 1. Well worth watching Roswell, New Mexico. It really quite surprised by it. It was really good. Then over on Apple TV, they have Little Voice, season 1 of that, which is a half-hour dramedy from J.J. Abrams, co-created. It's a love letter to the diverse musicality of New York City and explores the universal journey of finding your authentic voice in your early 20s. I'm not hugely interested in this, but it is coming to Apple TV Plus on the 10th of July. Then we have P-Valley, which is a hour-long drama set in a little strip club in the southern states of America. That's coming to Stars Play on the 12th of July. That's called P-Valley. Then we have Miracle Workers Season 2. Season 1 of this was utterly brilliant. It's an anthology series. It's called The Dark Ages, I think, the second season. So it's set in the Dark Ages. That's coming to Sky Comedy on the 13th of July at 9 p.m. And then we have Plot Against America, which is coming to Sky Atlantic. This is a limited series set in alternative American history, which centers on a Jewish family in New Jersey who watched the political rise of Charles Lindbergh. That looks like it could be quite good, and in that sort of Man in the High Castle kind of alt history vein. So it looks quite interesting. But that's 14th of July that arrives, and that's Plot Against America. So that's everything we have for this week. Unless you've got anything else you want to mention, like where people can find you.
Probably be a good idea, wouldn't it? I'm called Trystabyte, spelled B-Y-T-E-S, because I thought I was being funny, over on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Also, I've got 4.5 years worth of videos up on YouTube, a load of stuff over on geektown.co.uk as well. And I'm on Twitch almost daily at the moment, broadcasting, doing a mixture of just chatting, streams, talking about comic books, movies, TV, all kinds of nostalgia, and apparently also Windows operating systems, as you heard at the start of this podcast. Yes. And wherever the tangents take us in general. And I do gameplay streams with a mixture of gameplay and chatting in the evenings. And the other thing we're doing at the moment is to celebrate my 1 year anniversary on Twitch. I'm fundraising for the Samaritans, so we're doing that during the week. And on the Saturday stream where I play Alien Isolation, oh dear help me God, the donations set off jump scares. So that's what I'm doing this week. You may never see me again after that.
Yes.
Hiding in a cupboard somewhere.
Yes, always hiding in a cupboard. The promotion,
for a good cause.
Yeah, hiding in a cupboard for a good cause.
Yeah, we're at just under £1,400 raised so far.
Nice, well done.
£2,000 total for the month, so doing okay.
Yeah, well done. That's good going, and great cause to be donated to. So yeah, go and check Bex out on that. They are very, very funny, her streams, so well worth going to watch and listen to and stuff. If you want to check out other people involved, you can, of course, go and find Daryl over on Hollywood News Source. You can find Matt over on Entertainment Talk. That's entertainmenttalk.org, who's got lots of podcasts over there as well. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. Everybody stay safe out there. If you're going out, please keep your social distance, even if you're drinking. I know places are open again, but the virus is still out there. Please be careful. Enjoy yourself, have a good time, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.